Well, for one thing, they continue to come up with different time delays and different reasons that this was being dragged out. This initial stage of whether to accept or deny the application was supposed to be based on all 7 parole board members being present. And when we got to the April 29th hearing, it was a 3-member panel. And then there were several comments made at the 3-member panel on April 29th that led us to believe that the parole board maybe probably wasn't going to go in our favor.
You also mentioned the potential impact of this decision on the entire state of Montana. That impact would be what?
Once again, it shows that our parole board in the state of Montana has too much power. I submitted a petition with 16,000 signatures on it. There were over 350 handwritten letters by different citizens from the state of Montana and across the United States of America. And the letters of the 7 prominent political figures that supported me being released on parole. And for the parole board to fly in the face of that, including Governor Bullock's letter that was released just before the April 29th hearing, everything the parole board came out with in the end is a complete contrast and contradiction to everything this amount of support desired.
This has been talked about a lot, but maybe for those who aren't familiar, you did not approach your latest application with claims of innocence this time. Instead, you said your general circumstances had changed. Mr. Beach, what does that mean?
You know, what we had to do is we had to show that since my denial in 2007, there had been a substantial change in my circumstances. So first and foremost, every single witness that we presented to Judge Phillips in Lewistown had come forward and given affidavits after seeing the 2008 Dateline NBC program. Some of those statements weren't even signed off on until the year 2010, including our eyewitness, Steffi Eagleboy, who we presented to Judge Phillips. And it was mainly based on her eyewitness testimony in 1979 that compelled Judge Phillips to grant me a new trial. Then he released me, and I went out into society for 18 months. And while in society, I was very active with the Special Olympics organization. I was active in speaking with churches and high schools and elementary schools and other speaking engagements, you know, sharing my story and my life, as well as just community events that I was active in. And the parole board has now said that their exact words is that does not demonstrate exemplary behavior or a change in circumstances. How do you not weigh into the fact that I was released and I was out there for 18 months? How do you not consider that to be a change in circumstances since 2007 denial? And there again, that impacts the entire state of Montana. Because what's the purpose of incarceration and what's the purpose of the groups and programming here at the Montana State Prison if it's not to try and train a person to go out into society and become a productive part of society if you're not going to consider that to be rehabilitation?
I think your critics would answer by saying previous Montana attorneys general, including Tim Fox, the Montana Supreme Court, 4 separate decisions from the Board of Pardons and Parole have all said nothing changes the fact that you've been convicted of murder, that you don't deserve a second chance. To them, you say what?
You know, that's easy to sit back and say because they don't want to reinvestigate the actual facts that they keep ignoring. Those exact same attorney generals also say that a bloody palm print left in the victim's blood has no probative value. They also say that the 7 footprints where they drug the body down to the river and 2 of those footprints is where they jumped down on mud in the riverbank next to where they rolled the body. You could see where they rolled the body into the river, and those footprints are not mine. And yet the attorney generals that you speak of and Mark Roscoe have always said that those footprints have no value to this crime and that they can't even assure that they're connected to this crime. There's also a bloody towel that we've now done DNA on that had the victim's hair on it, but somebody else's blood. That blood has been DNA'd. That DNA is not mine and it is not the victim's, and yet the Attorney General's office and the Supreme Court and other people that have opposed me say that this DNA means nothing because they're not sure that this towel is connected to the crime, even though it had the victim's hair on it. Not only that, but the state of Montana Crime Lab and the Attorney General's office has lost 128 forensic slides of DNA evidence that could now be tested using different standards that even in 1979, none of them slides connected me to this crime. But still, we could have went back now, but they're the ones who lost these slides. So how do you continue to just cast aside and ignore all this forensic evidence when forensics is the very foundation and basis that our judicial system is based on?
Back to your basis for this most recent application that you've changed. There are lots of people in prison who've been convicted of murder when they were younger, and they've grown up and have changed or claim to have changed over the years. So should all of them be freed as well?
Well, actually, if you go back and you look at the Board of Pardons and the Department of Corrections website, you will see that there are a lot of those that are free. I know 20 or 25 of them who actually came into prison after I came into prison, and they're already out there on parole because they had the parole option in front of them, and they're out there.
What do you have to say to your supporters, including Governor Bullock?
You know, I appreciate their support because they don't know how much it means to me to know that they're out there fighting for me. And like they continue to tell me, we will not quit. I'm saddened by the fact that in the state of Montana, the way the law and the parole board operate, that even the governor of our state doesn't have any power or authority over this independent board that has quasi-judicial status.
Last question, and that would be, now what?
I have several options to take this back into court, which we will be doing something in the very near future, my legal team and I. We have options to take this both into state court and into federal court. You know, one thing that everybody has to remember is I was granted a new trial. I was released pending that new trial. And that new trial was granted based on eyewitness testimony that contradicts my conviction, contradicts my confession. The eyewitness states that they heard and saw numerous people commit this attack and that they did not hear any male voices amongst that crowd. It wasn't a single attacker. This eyewitness testified that there were several people who committed this attack.
In December of 2011, you were released and were out for 18 months. Boy, it must have been doubly tough to have to go back from then. What is life like right now there?
You know, I can't even tell you how the struggle and battle against depression and gut-wrenching sickness has been like over the past year, because it wasn't just a day or two. I mean, it's continued over this entire past year to have gone out there and been reminded of what I'm fighting for and to be reminded of the freedoms of life. And to feel that, and then to have it taken away by what I consider to be an erroneous decision by our Montana Supreme Court. It was more of a political decision than a judicial decision. If you study out the facts of this case and the facts of that decision, there's a true double standard being applied by the Montana Supreme Court in this case. It's just sickening, you know, to see and feel that. It's truly sad that there's not a single authority in the state of Montana that has a say-so or has oversight over the parole board, and especially when they make the statement that they make about rehabilitation in this situation. I have 64 certificates of accomplishment. I've taken every single group in every single prison that I have ever been in successfully, and yet the parole board says that there's no aspect of rehabilitation or change in my life. That's something that needs to be looked at differently in our state.